Final hour on this Friday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, now joined by Max Herz from Preds Radio, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got some midday Preds hockey coming up today, 1 o'clock puck drop, noon pregame with Max from Sweden. And Max is right here with us. He is not in Sweden. We'll send it out there to Pete. Is it Pete and Hal are on the call out there?
Just Pete.
Oh, okay. So just
Hal
Pete.
Hal is on TV, so just Pete.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that'll be fun. Again, 1 o'clock puck drop. First of two games out there in Stockholm. Are you preparing for the early morning one on Sunday? Earliest game in Preds history, possibly? 8 a.m. puck
well,
drop?
Well, it depends what you define as early, I believe, because they played in Japan.
Oh.
In 2000, so at that point, you're flipping days over.
Gotcha. Okay, so...
when does early begin
right,
and late end, really?
That is true. Time is a...
only in Smashville.
Time is a time societal is a construct. So there we go. 8 a.m. puck drop on Sunday. Max will be with you at 7 a.m., bright and early, for the second of two games against the Penguins. But Max, heading over there, this is an important couple of games for Nashville. You've lost five in a row. Starting to fall further out of the playoff picture. If they're going to turn things around, it feels like it has to start now.
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity for them, and Andrew Brunette has vocalized that pretty clearly. Like, this is a chance for the team to flip the season on its head. And I also think, regardless of the big picture of what their record is, this is the first time they've had back-to-back days off in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And yeah, they had a transatlantic flight in this, but they played 12 games in 19 days. 12 games with 7 non-game days.
Yep.
And those aren't even all off days because there's been travel. They've had 2 or 3 practices. You want more, but that's
right.
All you have time for. And in those 12 games, they were 3-7-2. And the last three of those were regulation losses. So at one point, it was 3-4-2 with a busy schedule.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they do it. Like, it's insane. And the one last punch to the gut was that I didn't understand. So the Penguins are the opponent for both the games in Sweden. So they're going through the same thing. They're playing well. So they're happy with the schedule.
Right.
But despite the fact that the Penguins season opener was 2 days before the Preds season opener, and despite the fact that they have played one fewer game than the Preds in total, they were already on the ice practicing in Sweden at the moment the Preds landed. It's just like, what is going on? The schedule is terrible. And the dumb part about this is obviously there's lots of history with the Preds and Penguins. It's Cup final.
Of course.
And it's a cool matchup because of that. And both teams have very prominent Swedish players led by Philip Forsberg and Erik Karlsson on each side. So that's why these are the teams, because of those Swedish guys. But because of that, the Predators don't go to Pittsburgh at all this season, which is very close to here.
Very disappointing for you, I'm sure, too.
Yeah. Well, we want short trips. No games in Pittsburgh. They go to Dallas once.
Yeah.
They go to St. Louis twice, which is normal. But guess how many times they go to Edmonton? Also twice. They go to the closest road city, St. Louis, and the furthest road city, Edmonton, twice each. They got to figure this schedule out. It's really bad with the NHL. The Preds should play the Stars and the Blues 8 times each.
Yeah.
They shouldn't play the Oilers more than they play the Panthers. So
it's all backwards.
It
doesn't make much sense. And I've always thought the NHL playing as many games as they do is crazy. Like,
they're adding two more next year.
Right, they're playing 84 next year. It's like, you've got NBA players taking load management on back-to-back games when, you know, they're not getting beat up and skating up and down the ice for 30 minutes a night. Like, it's crazy to me that the NHL plays as many games as they do, and to schedule it that way for the Preds, it is understandable that maybe running out of gas a little bit towards the end of that stretch of 12 games in 19 days.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. It's really impressive, the level of the beating and the physicality. And
right.
It's still early in the season, too.
Yeah.
You know? Like, these guys, it takes time for them to really get going. It's not automatic. So
yeah.
It's been tough. Obviously, they're playing poorly. Like, that's not the reason they're playing poorly, but
right.
It's associated. And it's... honestly, it's impressive that they're even keeping some of these games close against teams that are playing much better than them right now. So this is an opportunity to start flipping that. Once they come back, they'll have three straight practice days on the books this week, and then things normal up a little bit. So, it's an opportunity to make a statement this week for sure and prove that you still have a shot.
Yeah, I've been saying maybe this could be their U2 trip of just like, hey, it's something unique, it's out of the box, and maybe this can be what can flip the way this team is playing right now.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
A 19-game point streak, probably unlikely, but maybe just could be the turning point.
Well,
for this team.
The two things I think of are the Sphere and where the U2 concert was. Sorry, just Sphere, actually, not the Sphere. And the arena in Stockholm used to be known as the Globen, and it's globe-shaped. But after Avicii died,
right,
it is now named for Avicii. So it both involves a major mainstream artist, Avicii, U2, and Sphere, Globen. So, I think we have something here, Jake.
Hey, 19-game point streak inbound.
This is what happens when I come on with you in the final hour of your show instead of the first hour.
Right.
Your brain is going 100 miles an hour, and I'm just warming up.
Yeah, that is true. It's like we're both in the same spot when you come on at 9 a.m. Me and Connor have been hanging out in here for 2 hours now. We got a text from Scott on the text line. He sent a picture of Philip Forsberg. Would you care to explain exactly what is going on with Philip Forsberg's outfit here? Is this a Swedish thing, I would assume?
Oh, wow. Is this today?
I guess so.
Let me see. Did the Preds tweet this?
The Preds must have tweeted it. So there's a picture of... I'll do my best to paint a picture for you here. Philip Forsberg wearing a top hat, a navy overcoat with like gold trim on it.
That borders on cape.
Wearing kind of like a khaki capri type pants with long white socks with red balls hanging off of them.
I believe Lederhosen is.
Lederhosen, is that what we're going with?
I believe so.
Okay. So
we're going to have to ask some of the Preds crew in Sweden about this.
We might have to.
Brooks Bratton is coming on the pregame show. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 is coming on the pregame show.
Awesome.
They're all there. So hopefully they will have picked up some local terminology.
Maybe they'll be able to figure out what kind of traditional Swedish garments that Philip Forsberg is wearing. Got to be fun for him to be over there. I mean, how often is it that these players get to go play in their native country? The Global Series. I think it's a really cool initiative that the NHL is doing to try and expand the game because, of course, most of the league is going to be Canadian and American, but you get these guys who come over from Sweden and some of the European countries who get to go play back at home.
It's amazing, and I try to drill into people here, and I say it on air, and I should say it more frequently, honestly. We are so lucky that we are in the country where the teams are and
right.
The city where a team is. These guys come from all over the world to chase their dream, and they get drafted or traded or signed to Nashville. Which is, when you think about it, so incredible because where we live is so different from where these players, almost all of them, come from.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't take it for granted. And yeah, it's cool that the NHL does it. They usually do two of these per year. There's only one this year because of the Olympics, which are also in Europe, in Milan. So yeah, the Preds are a showcase team for this, and the Preds ask to be involved in everything. That's why the Preds have been to Europe twice in 4 years.
Yeah.
That's why the Preds have been a host of an outdoor game and the road team in an outdoor game. That's why the Preds have hosted an all-star game. That's why they've hosted two drafts in 20 years. It's because they want to host this stuff and because our fans are great and the team is very cooperative with things like this. And I think it's amazing, and it's a reason why they're Preds fans in a lot of different places.
Yeah. Yeah, and two games out there in Stockholm this weekend, starting today, 1 o'clock puck drop as the Predators take on the Penguins. We've got plenty more to get to with Max. If you have any questions for Max, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can get those in on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, we're leading you right up to pregame coverage at the top of the hour. Coming up next, there was a bright spot on Monday in New York. Matt Wood, a hat trick, and the Preds might have themselves a star blossoming in the young Matt Wood, who has gotten off to a great start to his NHL career. We'll talk about him coming up next. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, joined by Max Hurst from Preds Radio. Max going to have pregame coverage of Preds and Penguins from Sweden coming up at noon. We've got him for the rest of the show talking Preds, who have lost 5 straight. Coming off a 6-3 loss to the New York Rangers on Monday night. And If you do want to look for a bright spot, Matt Wood, hat trick in that game. And he has been sensational since joining the team, was injured in training camp. But if you look for something to look forward to for this Preds team of who could be part of this next core, Matt Wood has been great so far.
Matt Wood, good. Everybody else, bad in that game on Monday. And it's incredible how quickly Wood has made a name for himself and put himself right at the top of the sheet for the Preds. He's the youngest Preds player ever with a hat trick. He's 20 years old. Philip Forsberg was 21, the previous youngest hat trick scorer for the Preds. Wood has 6 goals in his last 7 games. Those are his first 6 career goals, dating back to his first NHL goal in Philly on October 30th. 6 goals in 7 games. He was so good in preseason, then got hurt and couldn't start the season with the team. So he missed the first 7 games of the season.
Yep.
He was rehabbing the injury. He played 2 AHL games. And despite missing the first 7 games of the season and playing in 11 games so far, everybody else, for the most part, has played in 18. Wood leads the Preds in power play points.
Wow.
A rookie who has not had top unit power play time.
Yeah.
If anything, he's been part of the split units. He's been with the Stamkos and Marchessault unit since they split. But those guys don't always start the power play. And he leads the team in power play points ahead of Forsberg, Stamkos, everybody.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
To see him come in at 20 years old and be able to have this much of an impact on the team. Got everybody a free hat trick of chicken tenders at Hattie B's.
Yeah, did you get yours?
I did.
Attaboy.
I did. It was my birthday on Tuesday.
Oh!
I left the show and I was like, you know what I'm going to go do? I'm going to go get myself a free hat trick of tenders from Hattie B's. Because that one's rare. You don't see a hat trick all that often. So Matt Wood came through. But you mentioned everybody else in that game wasn't that great. What have you seen from this team lately that has led to the 3 straight regulation losses heading to Sweden? I know that they're dealing with injuries. Obviously, Roman Josi's not on the ice. But clearly things have been trending in the wrong direction over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and they're just not generating anything. Second period of that game against the Rangers, they were just flat beyond belief. Like, nothing happened, but they still gave up 3 goals.
Yeah.
The shots in the period were 4-3 for the Rangers, and Juuse Saros made 1 save. And the goals weren't necessarily his fault, but you know after that they're going to make a goalie change for the third, which they did.
Right.
So, and Saros will be back in there today for the first game in Sweden, obviously. And I still don't think much of this is on Saros. He has sagged a little bit the last week or so from the level where he started the season, but I mean, it's the same thing that happened last year. There's nothing good happening in front of him. And if his game starts to fall off a little bit, I mean, it shouldn't, but who could blame him? There's nothing to play for the way last season went. And you need to convince your franchise. And to me, Saros is the franchise. You need to convince him that he needs to stay at his best, and there's a reason to do it. So I that's why I've said it before. Like, that's why I don't think last year was on him. And it can't get to that point again this year. Then you got real problems.
Right. And we saw some of those defensive adjustments help out early on in the season. But as that's deteriorated, Saros has kind of deteriorated behind him. I know that Saros is now on this 8-year extension. There has been chatter, I think mostly from people in Edmonton, of whether the Oilers would come over and try and trade for Juuse Saros. I wouldn't think that's something the Predators would entertain unless they get some sort of ridiculous.
Doesn't Saros have a no trade clause?
He does, right?
So why would he waive that in year one of an 8-year contract
in
the place where he wants to be?
Right. I think it's mostly Oilers fans out there who are saying
these NHL rumors are just, I don't know. Like, Elliot Friedman, who we have on, is a reputable source.
Yeah.
And even when he gets asked things by Willie and Adam and D-Mace that he doesn't know on, like, he always has sourcing on it, and he'll be like, well, I did hear, and it's like, oh, well, like, I'm glad we asked, because otherwise we wouldn't have known that.
Right.
But, like, I think this Oilers thing is coming from this guy, Frank Saravalli, who I don't think is credible. Like, he's a national reporter, but,
gotcha.
Like, I mean, the Preds, there is a chance that they approach the guys who have no trades, I think, the way this is going. I don't think Saros would get approached.
Yeah, I find
who's going to be the goalie for the next 5 years if they do that?
I find it hard to believe that they're going to flip that quickly on a guy they just signed to an 8-year contract a little over a year
ago. There's nobody else playing pro in the organization now who's ready to be a number one.
Yeah.
Onanen could be. I mean, he's 25, so Maybe in a couple years he could get there, but he's not a number one right now. And their draft pick this past summer, this guy Jack Ivankovic, who's 18 years old and was here for rookie camp in the summer, is the number one goalie as a true proper-aged freshman at University of Michigan right now on a great team. He's, like, barely given up any goals. So, like, maybe you can look forward to that, but
long
he's 18.
Long way away, though. Yeah. Yes. And, yeah, you're right. I think the Predators made a pretty clear statement when, first off, you sign him to that contract, and then you trade away Yaroslav Askarov. It's like, all right, he is our goalie for at least the next 5 years. And, you know, maybe there gets to be a point in the rebuild and the retool around here that it makes sense to move him, and maybe he would want to be moved, but I don't think we're there yet.
I think he's getting paid what he's worth, too. Like, the way the cap has gone up, he makes under $8 million. So he's already
7.76.
Yeah, he's barely even in the top 10 highest paid goalies with how quickly these contracts have come over. And I would take him over some of the guys who have gotten the bigger contracts since then that are getting paid more than him. So I think the no trade guys are something to think about. I don't think Saros is that.
Yeah, I know the other guy who, and it's early for trade season, of course. The Predators still have an opportunity to turn this thing around. But the other guy that's been talked about a lot is Ryan O'Reilly. Of would you consider moving him? Probably the guy that could get you back the biggest haul, because it's not like you'd have to take on Steven Stamkos' contract. You could probably get yourself a pretty high pick and a prospect for Ryan O'Reilly. But does that make sense as a guy who is a culture builder in that room and, as we found out last week, holds himself to a pretty high standard?
If I'm making the calls, my first offer to the many teams that would want Ryan O'Reilly, which could actually be all 31 other teams could potentially want him, he has a full year left after this year on his contract.
Right.
That's the thing that really pushes the value over the top and puts the Predators in a very strong position to make a trade here. My first demand would be two first-round picks and two high-level prospects.
Yeah.
And if they say no, I hang up.
I think that's what you have to do when you have players that are going to be valuable like that. Like you mentioned, he's not a rental. He's not just for this chance at a Stanley Cup. You get him for this one and next one. And I think it is important to set your value high and don't, there's got to be some negotiating, but I don't think you really have to negotiate much when you have a guy that you don't have to trade away, right? Like some of these rental guys, it's like, hey, we don't want to let you walk for nothing. We're going to get what we can get. But with Ryan O'Reilly, you don't have to do that.
And I mean, you'd have to, I really should go through every single team and list who I think the two prospects would be. But it needs to be like your two highest ceiling forward prospects.
Yeah.
I think it should be like a massive return if the Preds trade Ryan O'Reilly away. Like absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Like franchise changing massive.
And that's what I'm sure Barry Trotz is going to ask for. Still a long way to go until we get to trade deadline season, but something to keep an eye on is the Predators obviously slipping further from a playoff spot. I believe currently 5 points out. Does that sound right?
I don't really look at the standings New Year's.
Right. I mean, I guess we still got a while to go, but heading over to Sweden.
Do the playoffs start today?
No, they do not.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's always good to ask.
It's always good to know that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve is on the line wanting to chime in. Steve, thanks for calling. What you got?
Hey, guys. Really enjoyed the show. This year almost looks like it's an extension from last year, and it's really disheartening to go to games and watch. And I'm just, you know, I don't know what the mindset of some of these players like Marchessault, Stamkos, and O'Reilly. I mean, they've already won Stanley Cups. I mean, is it possible that it's like, okay, I'm just there to play hockey, make my millions, and I don't care about winning a Stanley Cup, because there's no chemistry in this team, and it's really hard to watch. I just want to make that point, and I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Really enjoy the show. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Steve. I mean, I think everybody in the NHL, even if you've won a Stanley Cup, you're always desperate to get the next one, right? Like, no one, I don't think anyone's here just collecting a paycheck. But he is right in that clearly the veterans and some of the pieces that you already had around here have not gelled. About a year and a quarter into this experiment, bringing in Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea, it hasn't worked out, but I don't think it's for a lack of want to, right?
I think O'Reilly is definitely not guilty of any of that.
Yeah.
I think Stamkos has been a good soldier. Marchessault, I would like to see more care.
Yeah. And, I mean, the comments that he made at the end of last year, I think, were pretty telling about the dynamic there.
But I had no problem with that. I had absolutely no problem with that. I want to see him play better.
Yeah. And he got off to a good start this year.
And now he has no points in five games.
Right.
The last
couple of weeks have not been great for Jonathan Marchessault. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions for Max, again, he's with us as we get you ready for Preds and Penguins this afternoon. Pre-game coverage coming up at noon. Puck drop is at 1. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more with Max Herz, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you. Preds taking on the Penguins in Stockholm, Sweden at 1 p.m. today. Pre-game coverage just 30 minutes away. Max will have you covered with all of that. We got one more segment with Max here on the show before we wrap things up. So if you have any questions for Max, 615-737-1025, you can text or call.
I know you're not about to gloss over what just got played on
the Yeah, there you go. Sweet life. That was well done. That was well done.
I was about to say, no reaction.
We went Drake and Josh last week.
Come on, Max. I played that for you. I thought you'd like
it. I didn't recognize that. What was it?
The Sweet Life is Zach and Cody theme song.
No, no.
That wasn't
not
yours.
My thing. I wasn't Disney.
You were Nick Kid. Yeah.
Okay. I was weird.
Justin from Greenbrier on the text line says, I know that Max sees this team more than the fans do. So what is really wrong with this team? They don't lack talent and you can't lay it all on coaching. What's been wrong with this collection of players?
I mean, I think it's what we were talking about last segment. It just hasn't clicked.
Yeah.
The Penguins kind of provide a blueprint of how this weird thing could have worked. They still have their long-term stars on the team.
Yeah.
Around them, they are rebuilding. And they have a couple of young guys who have mixed in, and they have some kind of misfits they've picked up from other teams who are fitting really well alongside the stars. And you could argue that O'Reilly and Nyquist with Forsberg 2 years ago was basically the same thing.
Right.
But the things that the Penguins have right now that the Preds don't, their first-round pick this year is shockingly still up and not going down. Like, imagine if Brady Martin were still with the team. That's what Ben Kindle is right now. He was 11th overall.
Wow.
And he is one of three who is staying.
Wow.
From this year's class.
So Schaefer with the Islanders, who's the
Misa,
other one?
I believe, is staying with the Sharks.
Gotcha.
I don't know if he's reached 10 yet, though, because they've been scratching him a lot.
Gotcha.
They have some of your cast-offs. Tommy Novak has done nothing. He'll play against the Preds for the first time ever today, so we'll see if he's dancing around. Philip Tomasino has been a healthy scratch more often than not.
Yep.
And then on D, they're getting a lot out of Carlson. Does Letang have much left? I don't know. I think he's been okay. They have a rookie who's kind of ahead of schedule on D, Harrison Brunick, who's going to play against the Preds for the first time. Their goalie situation is abysmal. Jari is just nothing.
Yeah.
He's hurt. Their main guy has now been Artur Shelovs, who played against the Preds in the playoffs for the Canucks 2 years ago.
Right.
He's going to
play
today.
He was part of that revolving door at goalie that they had.
I always really liked it. Like, it hasn't surprised me that he's been good with the Penguins. But you got to get the most out of your guys. And the Penguins are overperforming. They have a first-year coach, and it's because they've scored a ton on the power play. And they've randomly gotten tons of production out of Anthony Mantha and Justin Brazeau playing with Malkin. And Brazeau is hurt right now. So that's a bullet dodge for the Preds because he's their leading goal scorer, which is crazy to think about. But if you're not going to have superstars in their prime, and like Philip Forsberg really could still be a superstar in his prime, but you got to have everything go right. And it's been the opposite. So they're not winning close games is the big thing. And like in hockey, you can never quite pinpoint where that is, and the players are left at a loss for answers with it, which is, I mean, they feel it. Like, you got to get it done. And I think Saros has been good enough to win with, and they can't score.
Fred.
So it's a lack, to answer the question, Justin, right?
Yes.
Just lack of offensive production. If Stamkos and Marchessault are going to be on the team, they're going to need to produce significantly more offense.
Preds are 5-9-4, playing 2 in Sweden against the Penguins over the next 3 days. Feels important to, at the very minimum, get 2 points out of this trip before you come back home. You'd love to get more, but again, you mentioned the Penguins, they've been overperforming currently in a playoff spot right now.
These feel like overtime games, right?
Yeah.
Cross-conference game in Sweden.
Yeah.
Like, this is probably 2 3-point games this weekend. So, the Preds have been awful at 3-on-3. They need to score a 3-on-3 overtime goal.
Yep.
Or they need to sit on the puck and get it to a shootout where they still have not lost.
Yeah, you look at it and you say, yeah, they're 5-9-4, but some of those overtime losses have just been brutal.
Imagine if all of those overtimes got to shootouts and they won them all.
Yeah.
Then they're 9-9-0.
Well, and even
like, it's the overtime points are just
right.
That's so weird.
The Montreal game where it probably shouldn't have even been an overtime, of course.
Not probably. It should not have been.
Of course, the Minnesota game where somehow that gets called a goal, which we talked about ad nauseum last week. So there's been some bad breaks for the Preds. Also, just haven't been able to execute late in games in order to get that extra point. And you're 5-9-4 heading over to Sweden to take on the Penguins.
I do have something to say that you just reminded me of that I meant to say earlier. Guess who is on the trip to Sweden? Referee number 14, Trevor Hansen.
Oh, no.
The goal awarder himself. And when something like that happens, the NHL sometimes will change the advanced schedule of officials to keep them away.
Yeah.
But you know, he had family reservations for Sweden.
It was probably too late to change the Sweden trip.
No, it wasn't too late, but he probably would have thrown a fit. So, yeah, and I assume it's the same refs for both games. I don't think they would travel.
Right. What would be the point
of
traveling
an extra group? Maybe there is one extra. Maybe? I actually don't know that
for sure. You probably need to have at least one reserve, but I would think that you don't need to bring two complete crews. So, man, that's a funny break there, and we'll see. UC needs to be careful if he's pushing off the post.
Or just go for it. Just throw the goal into the crowd.
Throw your whole body into it and knock it off on purpose. See if he can tell the difference. 615-737-1025. If you have any final questions for Max, he's with us for a couple more minutes here. I know you brought up the Preds have had some fun over there in Sweden, too. There's been some very intriguing quotes. I know Nick Perbix, we were talking about, basically said that he has no idea what he's eating. He's just following Phil Forsberg's lead of what exactly he should be dining on while he's over in Sweden. These guys like to have fun, and there's been some nice things said over there.
And team bonding matters, too. And the entire team had like a big traditional Swedish meal together at a restaurant chosen by Stockholm's own Adam Willsby. And Philip Forsberg is not from Stockholm. He's
right.
From Leksand, which is like an hour and a half, 2 hours away.
Yeah.
And is a smaller city. But Willsby is from Stockholm. So he's been large and in charge. He's been the planner. So it seems like everybody's had a great time. And they needed time away. They've played so much.
Yeah.
And the team bonding does matter. And it's a trip that every team would book if they could. Like, Jake, you just went to Paris with the Vanderbilt women's basketball team. Every team would want that if they could.
Right.
There's value in that, and you'd probably rather it be the first games of the season, not the 19th and 20th games of the season.
Yeah.
But it still matters, and it is an opportunity. Of course, you could lose both games, and then where do you go from there?
Yeah.
But it's definitely an opportunity, and it's been really cool, and I really hope it ignites Philip Forsberg, who has been playing well, but I hope it ignites him even further.
Yeah, I would guess there's going to be a little bit extra for Forsberg and Willsby this week. I mean, we said it earlier in the show. How often do these guys get to play in front of that many family and friends? It is crazy to think, like, hey, they grew up in Sweden, and now they're living in Nashville. It's like if we got assigned to go broadcast soccer in Turkey or something like that. Like,
I'll do it. Sign me up.
Yeah, great. But it's got to be cool for them to get back home. And I'm excited to see how they play today. You mentioned it. It has not been good late. 3 straight regulation losses, 5 losses in a row overall. This is a chance to bounce back. And there could be 2 very different conversations based on how this team, this trip goes on Monday morning when we come back of, hey, they were able to take advantage of this opportunity for 2 unique games against the Penguins and maybe got things trending in the right direction, or things could continue to spiral and you come back with 11 losses.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I actually put these 2 games in a different category than the losing that they've done lately. But we'll see how it goes. you really do feel like you need one.
Yep.
It can't be an empty trip.
Right. And again, game one coming up in just over an hour here on 102.5 The Game. 1 o'clock puck drop from Stockholm. Pete Weber on the call. Max will have you covered with all the pregame coverage coming up at the top of the hour. We're leading you right in to Preds coverage from Sweden. Max, appreciate you coming on for a little bit here. I know you got to get ready for pregame and all that, but we will hear you at the top of the hour with pregame coverage.
That's the plan. Thank you. Yeah, hope everybody keeps listening and sneak in your radios at work. Or
yes,
I don't know. Does anybody work anymore? Everybody's probably.
It's a Friday. It's a Friday afternoon.
It's a summer Friday.
Listen in to.
Is it summer?
It feels nice outside.
Yeah,
it might be our last nice weekend of fall. So appreciate Max coming on again. You keep it right here. Noon pregame, 1 o'clock puck drop as the Preds take on the Penguins in Sweden. We'll wrap up the show after this and get you off to pregame coverage. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up the show on this Friday, next man up. 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Appreciate Max Herz joining me for about 45 minutes as we lead you right into Predators coverage, and he will have your pregame show coming up right after us. Preds and Penguins from Stockholm, excited for it. 1 o'clock puck drop and then 8 a.m. puck drop on Sunday for those two Global Series games. One quick thing before we wrap up here. Parker, did you see this article from Bruce Feldman at The Athletic this morning?
I might have glossed over it. Tell me more about it.
It was an article, what we're hearing on Lane Kiffin, a name to keep an eye on at Penn State, Virginia Tech search about to wrap up, blah, blah, blah. Looking like maybe Virginia Tech and James Franklin could be close to the goal line. But that is not what I am taking from this. Here is an excerpt that is making the rounds on social media. This situation seems to be trending in a positive direction for Rebels fans who would like to keep their coach. But one note of caution, one industry source says there was at least a modicum of interest in Kiffin among decision makers with the Tennessee Titans.
Repeat that for all the listeners.
The Lane train might be coming down the tracks to Nashville.
The longer this goes on, I honestly don't believe that he's going to leave Oxford.
I don't know if he is either, and I think I would have thought the LSU job was like tailor-made for Lane Kiffin. And maybe it still is. Maybe that ends up happening down the road. But there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of smoke there.
I did hear from someone yesterday, and I don't know how true this is, that he has already signed a deal with Florida. But I don't think – I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I don't know. It is very tough in this coaching carousel with so many midseason firings that – all of these guys who are being discussed for jobs are trying to get to the college football playoff right now, whether that's Lane Kiffin at the SEC level or at the Group of Five level with Alex Golish and John Sumrall and all those guys. But that's at least interesting that the Titans could be poking around at the college level. And Lane Kiffin, what would your thoughts on that be?
It's not realistic, but hypothetically, in a fantasy world, I'd love it. But it's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But my question would be, wouldn't that make more sense for the Giants to go get Lane Kiffin? Right? Like, reunite him with Jackson Dart, do the Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray thing?
Yeah.
Like, that would be my thought. Would be, hey, if you're the Giants and you want to go get the most out of Jackson Dart, well, just go get the coach who developed into a first overall or a first round pick. But with Cam Ward, I don't know. Lane Kiffin would be a very, very interesting hire. I know Corey Curtis is big on Marcus Freeman. If the Titans go to the collegiate level, and I think I'd be more on board for that. Like, I think if you're pulling from the college coaching ranks, I would rather a leader. Like a full-on leader who is not known as a guru offensively. Because do we know if Lane Kiffin's offense is going to translate to the NFL? It didn't work out all that well when he was with the Raiders. So I don't know. But I would lean like a Marcus Freeman type if they go college coach instead of a Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, so This is what I'm thinking, because obviously with the LSU job, with the Florida job, with the Auburn job opening, you know, Lane Kiffin is signed up for like 45 jobs at this point in time. But the longer this goes on, and you think about this age of NIL transfer portal, you can build a contender. Indiana is a contender because of what Kurt Cignetti has done.
Yeah.
You can make Ole Miss a contender. So why would you want to leave Ole Miss where nobody tells you no, you have everything you want, your family is doing well, you seem to have your life, you know, in order? Why would you want to leave Ole Miss to go to LSU where they can't keep their mouth shut for 5 minutes and screw everything
right
up? It doesn't make sense. And you know, I think Florida is a step above. I think you can come into Florida and be an instant winner, but why would you want to risk it when you can accomplish your goals at Ole Miss?
Yeah. If Lane Kiffin is anything, he's unpredictable. So I don't know if this is actually legit. Would the Titans hire Lane Kiffin to be their head coach? I don't know. But we had a caller yesterday who said the Titans need to do something to ignite the fan base. You need to keep them engaged. I think hiring Lane Kiffin, I think, would do that. That's a splash hire that would get people talking at the very least. But Mike Herndon on Twitter makes a very good point. If you thought Vols fans were mad about the Titans drafting Levis over Hooker, imagine if the Titans hired Lane Kiffin to be their head coach.
That would be funny. I will say, I watched the Lane Kiffin documentary on ESPN.
Yeah,
the
many lives of Lane Kiffin.
I highly recommend it to anybody that hates Lane Kiffin. I think it would change your viewpoint on him.
I think he's become more likable over the last few years. Since he got to Ole Miss, I think he has become a more palatable person.
Well, he's focused on, you know, taking care of himself. You know, he's been sober for
right
well over 5 years, and, you know, he prioritizes his family, so I think that's really changed too, Lane Kiffin. Now, he still pokes fun, and he's still an excellent troll.
I mean,
that
the Twitter account for Lane Kiffin
right
is top tier.
Right, but he seems to be a changed person overall.
Yeah, it's an interesting name to put out there. I wouldn't start putting Lane Kiffin at the top of the odds for the Titans' next head coach, but to put that in that article, with a lot of news about the college head coaching carousel, maybe the Titans are thinking about dipping into the college ranks. That's the first real rumor that we've seen that the Titans are interested in a college coach with Lane Kiffin. 9013 on the text line says, I'm on the Lane train. Jeremy in Clarksville says, would Lane Kiffin ignite the fan base or set them on fire?
Ignite.
Dumpster fire.
Ignite.
I think people would get excited
about
Lane Kiffin.
People would get excited about Marcus Freeman as well.
I think so too.
He got NFL interest last year with the Chicago Bears.
Like, not that I think Matt Nagy or Arthur Smith would be a bad hire. I would be pretty pleased with those hires, but those don't move the needle for people, right? Like, that's not going to get people to go buy season tickets if you hire Matt Nagy as your head coach. I think it would if you hire Lane Kiffin. I don't think they're going to do it.
Man, another job that Lane Kiffin signed up for.
Right. He's going to be coaching half of the college teams and half of the NFL at the end of the
year. Any job opening, that it could be Swanee, and Lane Kiffin's signed up for the job.
Yeah. Anyway, the report this morning from The Athletic is that there is at least a modicum, that's the word that they used, modicum of interest from the Tennessee Titans in Lane Kiffin. We won't know it all until January when the Titans start putting out interview requests, but at the very least, another name that has been thrown into the mix for the Titans head coaching job. Titans taking on the Texans on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. That is a noon kick. Davis Mills getting the start for Houston. Titans coming off the bye week. I wouldn't pick them to win, but at the very least, you'd think there's a chance. You know?
There's always a chance.
So you're telling me
is it likely?
A chance.
Maybe not.
No, I mean,
but there's a chance.
They're only, what, 5.5-point underdogs? So that's,
yeah.
I mean,
it's definitely better than, you know, the previous couple weeks.
Yeah. There are plenty of games left on this Titans schedule that I would give them almost zero chance to win. Sunday's not one of them. I think they got a chance, but they've got to go out and play better football than they have, especially on the offensive side.
How they look coming out of the bye.
Right, right.
Or the off weekend, the idle weekend.
It's a bye in the NFL.
As Joe Rexrode.
I understand the open and idle in college football. I know that's a big thing, but it's a bye in the NFL.
Yeah.
The NFL puts bye week on all of their stuff.
As also, apparently, it's a two-minute warning in the NFL and a two-minute timeout.
Yeah,
the NFL has trademarked
that.
They
made a big deal out of two-minute timeout last
Which I don't understand why.
Big day of college football tomorrow. Notre Dame and Pitt. Game day is in the Steel City. That's an 11 a.m. kick. And then the two big SEC battles. Vanderbilt fans, keep an eye on it. All those games on ABC, you're rooting for Pitt, you're rooting for Alabama, you're rooting for Georgia to help the Commodores' playoff chances. That'll about wrap things up for us. Again, we are leading you right into Predators pregame coverage. Max Herz is going to have it for you on the other side. Pete Weber is going to be calling the game from Sweden. Exciting weekend for the Predators. I mean, the record obviously isn't what you want it to be, but an opportunity to go play overseas, and we'll see what they can get done against the Pittsburgh Penguins this weekend. Again, puck drop coming up at 1 o'clock today. Max Herz has your pregame coverage as that wraps things up for us. Hope everybody has a great weekend out there. We will be back on Monday at 9 a.m. reacting to all of it. Preds playing two games over the weekend, Titans on Sunday, college football, and much more. That's coming up next. Next man up, 125 The Game.